This is Rocky Mountain Voices, and you're listening to the vSpring V100 show, powered by PodTech.
You know, how do you differentiate yourself from Kleiner? You don't, basically. You just take the deals they don't want. Our ecosystem was really around growing the market. Let's make this ecosystem successful, and let's be known as the firm that's helping to make that happen, and then we'll get the deals. That's always kind of been the strategy.
Welcome to the inaugural V100 show. I'm Dennis Wood. The V100 is an elite group of entrepreneurs who have been selected by their peers and the community as most likely to realize venture success in the future. I'm here with Gavin Christensen, who is also a member of the vSpring team. Gavin was here in the early days of the V100 and the formation of it, along with the vSpring partners and Greg Warnock. And I just wanted to have a conversation with Gavin and learn a little bit more about the V100 and why the V100 was formed, and perhaps a little bit more about its direction in the future. Thanks for being here, Gavin.
My pleasure.
Gavin, talk to us briefly, if you could, about the early days and the formation of the V100.
Well, let's see. So just to set the stage, I had come back to Utah from Boston, and had started work with vSpring. And at the time, you know, probably 6 months into my tenure there, there was a real thought among the partners that things were going well at vSpring, but they really wanted things to potentially be what we called a 100-year firm. There's discussions about how you take this success we have and really parlay that into a real legacy and franchise for the future. And so as part of that effort, Greg Warnock led an effort to do best practices, to look at other venture funds that have been successful and see what it was about the way they operated, the way they functioned, the way they treated their people, the way they interact with the community that made them successful. So he and I were kind of the principal people on that. I had kind of a consulting background, and made sense to have me on it. And we you know, made this. I recall being the spreadsheet that was, you know, just hundreds of lines long. It was really literally everything a venture fund could possibly do in terms of its activities. And some of the main areas were, you know, relationship management, deal flow generation, management of LPs, you know, generating returns, syndication of deals, really all of the potential activities. And we surveyed other venture firms, we talked to limited partners, we talked to entrepreneurs, and really started to get a sense for what really mattered at the end of the day in terms of really creating what we call persistent returns, which is, you know, not a one-hit wonder, but returns over time.
Yeah, I remember this this undertaking. Actually, it wasn't small. It was actually quite a big deal, and a decent amount of vSpring resources were expended. And seems like that best practices study became kind of a theoretical underpinning for several things that came out of vSpring since.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at the time, you know, there's definitely moments, I thought, hey, I need to get back to, like, you know, working on real venture stuff. But I think what the thought we took was something that was very rare among venture firms, to really take a step back and really think about the strategy of the firm. And then one of the things, just, you know, it's been a long background, but one of the things that led up to the V100 was a discovery that proprietary deal flow and relationship management really were the key disciplines and activities that led to great venture outcomes. And on the proprietary deal flow front, there really was a sense that the relationship for value add that the venture investor had was, it really drew that out of the community. I remember sort of the day that Warnock and I were just sitting in a conference room sort of talking about this fact. We just interviewed a bunch of venture funds. We'd done an online survey, and we're talking about this. You know, how can we play this into the firm's strategy? And really, you know, Greg kind of had the idea, you know, we should do, there's probably some kind of association we could do that would go beyond existing associations.
So a bit of a proactive strategy, if you will, in terms of reaching out to the entrepreneurship community locally.
Yeah, I mean, the way I would, maybe a good metaphor for it would be, you know, today, you know, the open source movement is huge, and it really, you know, there's Google, for example, is a company that's based on this idea of the wisdom of crowds. And it became obvious to us at vSpring that we knew a lot of, that the partners knew a lot of people, we were seeing a lot of great deals, but it was actually fairly often that we would hear of an entrepreneur that maybe we should have known along sort of a while back, you know. So the community, what we realized is the community knew a lot collectively, and really the V100 was a way to tap into that and really kind of draw on the wisdom of crowds to tell us, you know, that you'll notice that the criteria of the V100 is very specific. And, you know, Dennis, you were part of putting this together. So you know that we asked the community, you know, who are the individuals most likely to achieve a venture return, I think we said in 5 to 7 years, as a CEO or CTO. And so, you know, that was really asking the community, you know, sort of place a bet or, you know, at some level, you know, tell us.
And it was bold at the time, too. I remember thinking, gosh, you know, will anybody actually say or give us a single name? And will anybody actually care about this? It was, I remember in those early days when we were having conversations about the creation of it and sort of the how we would form this. And this whole idea of the community nominating and then peer selection process. And many of our discussions were, you know, we'd have kind of a stratification in the room where half of the group would say, this is going to be huge. It's such an important thing for this community. And other folks thought, no one is going to give us a single name. It's going to get absolutely nowhere. So it was a very bold and different idea as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the case. And it was, you know, frankly, a pretty big risk with the VSpring brand at that point. You know, we'd had some success, but we were, you know, it was a critical time for the fund. And we felt like, you know, this was a sort of a bet to help us become, you know, a real force for improvement in this ecosystem and not just another venture fund.
So, Gavin, when did this happen? When was this best practices? Tell us a little bit about the timeline then.
So just briefly, I mean, so we started, so I joined the firm in 2003 early, probably 6 months into me being at VSpring, I started this project maybe a little later. And the best practices study went on for probably at least 6 months, maybe 9 months, before I kind of presented out to the partners. And then probably midway through that, so this is probably 2004 at this point, this planning session where Warnock and I sat down and we decided, you know, this could be a really interesting thing to fill out. And that's also where it became obvious to us that, you know, Dennis would be the guy to run this because of his sort of unique position in the community as a basically a relationship broker. And so let's see, the first time we launched this would be, so 2004 was the first class. So I remember it being quite a crush towards the end because we were still filling out kind of what this thing was, and that we were also parallel processing, you know, creating the voting mechanism and you know, doing event management, all this. But it was an exciting and wonderful time, I think, for all of us to see something that we'd just, you know, imagined, you know, less than a year before become reality.
So, Gavin, why the V100? What has been the mission of the V100 and perhaps some of its accomplishments over the years?
I think the mission, first and foremost, has been really to grow the ecosystem. I think there's always been a belief at VSpring that essentially our self-interest is served if we can really put Utah on the map and really continue the incredible growth that's happened here in the last, say, decade. And so really the first and foremost, it was put top entrepreneurs and technical talent in touch with each other and do it in a way where there's very little background noise and they have the freedom to connect, to share best practices, and create deals. That has been the mission for us. And VSpring in the background, the thought is, hey, look, well, you know, if that happens, you know, and we get credit, that's great. If we don't get credit, that's fine too, because now we have, you know, a bunch more attractive deals that, you know, we might be able to invest in the community. So that's the first and foremost, it's to make things happen and then for us to try to get involved with the things that are happening.
It seems like there were several original ideas for why the V100. We wanted to create a voice for entrepreneurs in the state. We felt like this group could have an effect on so many outcomes, both in terms of business, academia, the government, and also we felt like we needed to create a critical mass for entrepreneurship here in the state, so that there could be, like you said, kind of these synergies between entrepreneurs. Do we feel like this has been created?
I think the best metric on this is probably just to, you know, attend one of the events, which, you know, the way they're designed are pretty much just for the V100. But the sort of the electricity in the air, the fact that people are, you know, still hanging out there talking, you know, literally almost, you know, hours afterwards, I think vouches for the fact that this is a rare opportunity for these individuals to get together and just talk and, you know, like I say, just share ideas and thoughts in an environment that has very little background noise and is very just supportive of them.
So, Gavin, you'll be looking to head off the New Mexico office for vSpring. New Mexico, currently, we haven't launched a V100 concept in New Mexico, per se. What will be your plans in New Mexico, and what do you think the plans for the V100 in the future will be for vSpring beyond the local region?
Well, for me, the vSpring experiment when I came here in 2003 has been really an amazing experience. And recently I've decided to come back to vSpring. I'm at business school at Kellogg right now, and mainly because I love the idea of not just doing venture capital, but growing a region and creating companies as part of that, really helping to fill out all the ecosystem gaps. New Mexico is a very promising region, and I'm excited to be going down there to head up the New Mexico office. What I see there is, sort of Utah, 5-10 years ago, essentially. And there's different strengths and weaknesses, but basically there's some similar gaps in the ecosystem, probably a few more to fill. Part of what I want to do is create what I've been calling the sort of extraction layer, essentially, which is a layer that sits above the labs, the university tech transfer offices, and the various places where technology and deals come from, and pulls things out such that we can create a sustainable sort of deal ecosystem that has management and professionals pulling things out of labs and creating companies. And that's where the venture firms really should be involved. And as a facilitator of creating that extraction layer, and just to give you a few ideas I'm thinking about, one is the business plan competition. One is really, educating tech transfer offices, putting them in touch with other best practice universities, working with labs to make sure that they have programs, and working with other venture funds. But really a big piece of that also is letting, again, the wisdom of crowds come into play, and letting the community tell itself who they think are the people, are the individuals that will lead that ecosystem into the future. And that, I think, that involves a V100 type model. I don't know if it's a V100. Maybe it's not 100, but it's something like that, because it's been very successful, and I think it really could help that ecosystem as well.
We mentioned earlier that this was a bold and very different move, especially for a venture capital firm. What is different about vSpring, and why has vSpring done something like this?
Basically, I think you have to look at vSpring's DNA and essentially the problems that we face here. I mean, vSpring was founded by, five entrepreneurs who made, their fame and money and their success by thinking about problems differently and being willing to take risks. When we floated this idea in front of the partnership, there was a lot of questions. Why is a venture capital firm in the sort of branding business? Why are we out, doing social networking stuff when we should be out finding deals? I think the data and the research that we've done helped us make a strong case to the partners. Look, proprietary deal flow and relationship management is what this business is about. And this program, we believe, will do that for us better than really anything we can do on our own, and will create a lot of momentum in the direction, not only, mainly, primarily for this ecosystem, which is really the problem we have. Unlike the Bay Area, where the sort of business challenge that most VCs have is competing against other firms. How do you differentiate yourself from Kleiner? You don't, basically. You just take the deals they don't want. Our ecosystem was really around growing the market. Let's make this ecosystem successful, and let's be known as the firm that's helping to make that happen, and then we'll get the deals. That's always kind of in the strategy. And so I would say that unique environment and that perspective is what led us to take a risk on the V100 and really see it through to the success it is today.
So kind of a risky question. Is it replicable in other markets?
Yes, I believe so. I think you have to look closely at the sort of factors that made it successful and make sure you can do it again. I mean, I'm about to take that risk in New Mexico. So Dennis, just to turn the tables for a second here, tell me, you've really been the guy that's, run with this from the early idea stages. So where is this going, do you think?
Well, I think this podcasting is the first of many new ways of creating a voice for the V100 members. I feel like this is an incredibly, if not the most relevant group of entrepreneurs in the state. And so I feel like it's our job almost to give them a voice, not just amongst themselves, but again, there's so many ways in which this group can have an impact on the government and academia, and also to contribute to other fledgling companies and entrepreneurs. So I see the V100 in the next 5 years as becoming much more expansive than just locally here in Utah. I'd like to see this being replicated in New Mexico, obviously, is kind of the next beachhead, in Colorado, potentially. But I see a huge problem, not just for Utah, but for regions. There's a regional recruiting and deal harvesting problem that I see really throughout the majority, actually, of the United States, that the V100 can be a mechanism for helping to answer in a similar way that I think it will for New Mexico and has in Utah.
I guess the biggest takeaway I had, you know, personally from this whole V100 experience and sort of experiment, so to speak, is that, you know, I just felt honored to be associated with these individuals who had really made things happen in Utah, in a place where, well, you know, many of the deals they worked in didn't have the benefit of institutional money, and they just, you know, really scraped out great businesses, created great outcomes, created a lot of jobs, and made a lot of things happen here. And so, really, one of the big takeaways for me personally has been just the quality and the professionalism and the sort of genius and creativity of these people in making things happen. And I think it was very exciting for us to see what high-quality people are found here in the state and have been successful. And I think a big part of the excitement that you see today is them seeing each other and realizing, wow, this state really has a lot of talent and a lot of potential. And, you know, that energy, I think, is what really is the glue that, you know, has made this program so successful. So really, I mean, vSpring's role, you know, we've sort of had the vision and facilitated it, but what really makes this group great is the group. And that's kind of what the point has been from the beginning.
Absolutely. And I would add to that this idea of the wisdom of the masses, as you mentioned. I mean, there were times, especially in that first year, where after we had the list, it wasn't published yet. You know, I would look at the list and, you know, of course, the vast majority of the individuals on that list, you could see clearly why they were nominated and selected to be V100 members. But there were a couple on the list, I just would have to admit that, you know, raised my brow. Now, why would that person be on this list? And without any variation since then, those individuals have gone to do some just incredible things and start very impactful and meaningful companies in the state. So it's great that it's beyond just vSpring sort of anointing specific people. So in the V100 show, the point of these interviews is to learn and listen from these great individuals and find out what has been sort of the key of their success, what can we learn, and we hope to be able to gain some insight into who these people actually are, and maybe we can learn a little bit more about how to experience venture success and become better entrepreneurs thereby. This concludes the inaugural V100 show. Over the course of the coming years, we will interview several V100 members and invite you to join us. If you'd like to find out more, visit our website at www.vspring.com. In Salt Lake City for the V100 show, I'm Dennis Wood.
You've been listening to a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.